Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, as we continue our study of the attributes of God. Deuteronomy, chapter 7. The book of Deuteronomy was the book that Jesus quoted from to the devil in the wilderness. All three of those quotes were from the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it held a special place in the heart of our Lord, and it is certainly the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we're going to read one verse, verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandment. What a powerful word. The writer of Deuteronomy, the Holy Spirit, inspiring Moses to pen these words, therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God. Ain't nobody else. And then he tells us about an attribute, the faithful God. This morning we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. And then he explains how he is faithful, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandment. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. We pray, God, that you would bless it, bless my lips, that I could bring forth what you would have me to say. Open our ears that we may hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. The faithfulness of God. Everything that God has promised will come to pass. His faithfulness guarantees this fact. He does not lie. What he has said in the Bible about himself is true. Jesus even said that he is the truth. This is extremely important for the followers of Jesus because it is on his faithfulness that our hope of eternal life rests. Amen. He will honor his promise that our sins will be forgiven and that we will live forever with him. If he was not faithful, I would not have that hope this morning. But because he is faithful, I have that hope that I will live in heaven with God. Amen. In this verse, there's a few things that I want to expound on. At the very beginning, he says, therefore, know. That word know means to understand. What he's saying is just go ahead and settle in your heart right now. Remove all doubt. Know. My first pastor, when I got saved back in 1979 in Bellevue, Nebraska, used to say, I know that I know that I know. That's kind of how he talked. You know, that means there is no doubt in my mind. It is settled forever. I know that God is faithful. Amen. Which brings us to that next statement. Know and understand in your heart that God is faithful. That means you can rely on God. You can depend on God. You can trust God. Yes, you can trust in Him and on Him. He is faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. And then he says, keeping His covenant. You know, the reason God can keep a covenant is because he's faithful. How many of you guys have ever made an agreement with someone that they didn't keep? How many of you guys ever said, well, I'll do this if you do that? Maybe even as kids growing up. I'll share my candy bar with you next time you share yours with me or whatever the case. And we found real quick growing up that sometimes people aren't faithful. They don't keep their word. But God's faithfulness is kept in the fact that he is a covenant God. Amen. Some examples of covenant are, number one, Noah. By the way, a covenant means, the actual word means to cut. And in the Old Testament, they would cut covenant by cutting up a sacrificial lamb or whatever the case may be, and then they would walk amongst this between the two people. And they called it cutting covenant. Okay? Now, Noah is the first example. The days of Noah, the Bible tells us, was corrupt and violent. If you want to know what the days of Noah were like, look at the headlines. Pretty much the same. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so we see that it was by faith that Noah built the ark. But faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in what God said. Faith in the fact that God's word is true. Faith in the faithfulness of God, that God will do what he say and says what he does because he's faithful. And so he entered into this covenant with God by faith, and he built the ark. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us that Noah spent 120 years building that ark. And while he did, he preached. And he preached that God was not pleased with the wickedness of the time and was bringing judgment by water, and he was building an ark, and that whoever was in the ark would be saved. Now, the reality of it is, nobody believed the message. It was only he and his family, eight souls, that were saved in the ark. Did that change God's attitude? Did that change God's position? No. God was faithful, and Abraham entered into this covenant with God because he believed in the faithfulness of God, that he would do what he said, and he said what he does. Today, I'm here to tell you, church, that God still does what he says and says what he does. Amen? That you can take it to the bank. If God said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. God is faithful. You cannot separate faith and works. One validates the other. Noah understood that. By faith, he built an ark because he knew God was faithful. The Bible says, you say you have faith, show me your works. Faith without works is dead. Amen? If you truly believe what you say, your actions will support what you say. And if you don't, you are doubting the faithfulness of God. Amen? The second example of covenant is found in the life of Abraham. Abraham was promised a blessing to not only to himself, but his descendants. God told him that his descendants would be as innumerable as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. He also told him that kings would come out of him and nations would come out of him. Again, it required not just believing, but it required action. He told him to separate himself from his family and go to the land of Canaan. He didn't have any kinfolks there. He just packed up and went. He went as far as Haran, and his dad was there, and his dad pretty much tried to kind of keep him there for a while. And, you know, if you've ever started out with the Lord and you've ever kind of backslid a little bit or just kind of got cold or maybe fell out of church for a while, don't let the devil condemn you. Even Abraham stopped at Haran. But then when his dad died, the Lord said, I told you to go to Canaan. And the Bible says that Abraham picked up his stuff, he took his wife, he took his nephew Lot, and he moved on to a land that he didn't know, to a people that he didn't know, because God said, I'm going to give you this land. And God was faithful. Today, if you look at the headlines, you will see in the headlines the name Israel. Because out of Abraham came Isaac, and Isaac Jacob, and God renamed Jacob Israel, and his 12 sons became the 12 patriarchs, and they are still there today because we serve a God that is faithful to keep his word. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, it was an act of faith that Abraham displayed by settling there. And in Genesis 15:5 we read, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. Say that with me. So shall your seed be. Today, in the year 2015, a few weeks before Christmas, there are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands of Jews living not only in Israel but around the world. God is faithful to keep His word. Amen. And in the book of Galatians, we read in chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach therefore the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And how is it that God has blessed all the nations of the earth? Because in the lineage from Abraham to David, to David to Jesus Christ, we have been grafted into the tree. And all the nations of the world are blessed because of the faithfulness of God in the life of Abraham who obeyed Him. Amen? So we see the faithfulness of God in His covenant with Noah. We see the faithfulness of God in His covenant with Abraham. And the third one is His people Himself. After the nation of Israel settled and grew in Egypt, there arose another Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and he made them all slaves. And in Exodus 2:24, it says, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And so because God is a covenant God, because God is faithful, you may think God isn't faithful. You like the slaves of old, when you're in the tar pits and you're wondering, where is God? God is faithful. It may not be the time yet, but God has not forgotten you. God will not leave you where you're at. You may think God doesn't care. You may think that God has forgotten. You may think that God hasn't answered your prayer. But hold on, because God is faithful and He will make a way. Amen. So again, we see the faithfulness of God in His covenant with Abraham. And He remembered His covenant with Abraham, and He saw the slaves. And after the Exodus, Moses brought the people out, and the law and the commandments were given on Mount Sinai. And in Exodus 24:3, we read, and Moses came, and he told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And so they acknowledged that God was the God of covenant, that He gave them the law, and He told them, this is what you need to do if you want to please Me. And they said, we'll do it. They entered in the covenant of the law. But we know the law doesn't work, does it? Because of the sinful nature of man. But they entered that covenant, and they acknowledged the fact that it was good, that the law was good, that it was good to obey the Lord, and yet they fell. It's a curious thing how God, who is totally faithful on His part of the covenant, will enter into a covenant with fickle man that He knows is not faithful. You would almost wonder if I was like God, I was in the place of God, I wouldn't enter in a covenant with any of you guys. I'm speaking rhetorically. You understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that man is fickle. I'm saying that man will say, yes, God, Your covenant is good. I will keep it. And then he will break it. And so if you were thinking like a natural man, you might say, why would God do that? Because of His love. Amen? Because He loves man. He knows man. He knows what's in man. He knows that man's fickle. He knows that man will break the law. And that's why the law and the prophet was not written to be kept. But Paul said it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because there comes a better covenant. Amen? There's another covenant that's coming that we look forward to. The next example of covenant is in the life of David. And if you would, just turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to read some of this passage here on this covenant with David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It usually starts out the way this chapter starts out. It starts out, we think we're going to do God a favor. God doesn't need our favors, does He? But He does appreciate our passion for God. And so with the covenant of David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. David said, I want to build God a house. And Nathan the prophet is told to go back to David. Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelled in houses since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved in a tent with a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold and from following the sheep to be ruler of my people over Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off your enemies from before you. I've made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor shall their sons, of the sons of wickedness, oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from your enemies also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. And when your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Amen. And so as David is wanting to enter into a covenant with God, saying, you know, I want to build you a house, God says, no, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. And even though he began to speak figuratively about the son Solomon who would build a house, a temple, then he began to speak prophetically about the house of David, amen, meaning the lineage of David. And through this house of David or lineage of David would come the seed that was spoken of in Genesis 3, the seed of a woman who would rule the world forever. Hallelujah. Now that's a covenant God, amen. And so he made this covenant with David. He said, I'm going to make of you a house, and from your descendants will come a king who will rule forever and ever. I'm here to tell you that king is coming very soon. And we can count on that because of the faithfulness of God. Amen. In Jeremiah, which brings us to Jesus. I'm getting ahead of myself. The New Testament makes a clear distinction between the covenant of the Mosaic law and the covenant of the promise. Amen. The apostle spoke of these two covenants, one originating from Mount Sinai and the other from the Jerusalem above in Galatians chapter 4. And Paul argued that the covenant established on Mount Sinai was a ministry of death and condemnation. Think about it. The Ten Commandments, you say, well, Ten Commandments are good. Yes. But the Scripture says, I didn't know sin till the law came, and then sin revived, and I died. Right? As a child, children are innocent. The minute they learn, thou shalt not, and they don't do it, then sin revives because you break the law. And so Paul said in Galatians that the law was a ministry of death. But then Jeremiah spoke of a future day, a future covenant in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it upon their heart, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. If you're born again, you know what I'm talking about. There came a day in your life, me, November 21st, 1979, when all of a sudden God moved in on the inside. The things I used to like, I hated. The things I used to hate, I liked. God wrote his name in my heart. and it changed me. It wasn't a covenant written in stone like the Ten Commandments. It was a covenant written on my heart. He changed your nature. That's what being born again is all about. Your nature changes. And all of a sudden, now, God has a new covenant. Hallelujah. When Jesus ate the Passover meal at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he spoke of the cup, and he said, "This blood is the New Testament," or the new covenant, "which I shed for many for the remission of sins." And Luke's account refers to this cup as symbolizing the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. When he said that, he was speaking of the faithfulness of God, wasn't he? He was speaking that God had promised David that all the nations of the earth, through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He promised David that there was coming a day when a king would come from him, and that he would touch the entire planet through this one incident. We call it Mount Calvary. This new covenant is referred to as a better covenant. Better because it is not predicated upon me keeping the law, but upon believing in God's faithfulness through Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? I love to say it. I'll say it to the angels high and the devils low. I'll tell Congress. I'll tell the White House. This is a better covenant than the one that was given by Moses. It's not predicated upon me keeping the law. It's predicated on me trusting in the precarious blood of Jesus Christ and the faithfulness of God. And I'm going to shout until the angels quit get tired of hearing me. Amen. Thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ and his faithfulness this morning. Glory to God. Now maybe you're here this morning and you've been burned by people. We've all been burned by people. Maybe you have trouble trusting because that you've been lied to. You know, Carol and I watched one of our favorite Christmas movies last night, Miracle on 34th Street. How many of you guys have ever seen Miracle on 34th Street? If you remember, I kind of forgot until I watched it again last night. The reason her little daughter was told not to believe in Santa and believe in miracles and believe any of this stuff was not because her mother was so bent on not believing, but because she had been burned by her dad. They divorced at a young age. And at one point, the man, what's the character's name? I forget. Anyway, the guy that's living across the hall, she's talking about all of this, and he says, "Are we talking about your daughter, or are we talking about you?" And see, that's what happens sometimes. People have been hurt, and they've been burned, and they've been disappointed by someone, and so they begin to project that on everyone around them. Like, you know, well, because this guy wasn't faithful, then I can't trust any man. I can't trust any woman. I can't trust you. I can't trust him. I can't trust her. And sometimes that happens. But 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." God is faithful. You can trust God. Don't be afraid to let God lead your life. You can trust him. Maybe you're here and you've asked God to help you with something, and it seemed like God didn't hear you or care. Maybe you put God to a foolish test and say, "All right, God, if you're really God, then I'm going to pray this, and if this happens, I'll believe you, and if it doesn't, I don't believe you. I don't believe you're there." But 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 10, verse 13, says, "There's no temptation that's taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So maybe you have put God to a foolish test. Maybe you prayed and he didn't come through and you think God's not faithful. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is faithful. And if you will just wait, God will make himself known to you. Amen. He's faithful. In Paul's closing statement to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, beginning in verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore. pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from the very appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body you preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Amen. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. You know, there's been so many times in the history of my ministry here with Faith Fellowship that I have been so discouraged I just wanted to quit. But you know what? It's not anything that I can do or not do. It's all on God. Amen. The God that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, and he also will do it. When, after the resurrection, when they had the fire on the beach, and the disciples are out in the boat, and they had fished all night, hadn't caught anything, and Jesus is on the shore. Have you caught anything? No, put your net on the other side. And as soon as they dropped their net, and they had so many fish, it almost sunk the boat, John said to Peter, it's the Lord. When you get to heaven, someone's going to ask you, how was it? Oh, I had some rough days. There was times I doubted. There was times I feared. There was times I didn't think I was going to make it. Well, how'd you make it? It was the Lord. It was the faithfulness of God. Grace has brought me here thus far, and grace will take me home. The faithfulness of God. Amen. God's promises are our assurance. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God, who has called you into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I read it earlier, no temptation has seized you except it's common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. A few weeks ago, we talked about God's justice and mercy in our study of the attributes of God. We said God was totally just in sending men to hell, but when one comes to God by way of the cross of Christ, his mercy wins out. Amen? So as we close, come on up, Nola, as we close today, we're going to take communion, which will remind us of the faithfulness of God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's say that together, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Long before Jesus came to fulfill God's plan for lost humanity, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said it so well. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll become white as wool. How can God turn someone whose sins are so red, so white, because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he carried my sins on that cross 2,000 years ago. When he wanted to quit, he didn't quit. When he said, Father, take this cup from me, and then he added, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And because Jesus was faithful, I am here today. Jesus came as a man to understand our frailty. He knows what it's like to doubt, to fear, to be hungry, to be afraid. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I'm glad this morning that Jesus is not only a merciful high priest, he's also a faithful high priest, aren't you? Let's all stand. Rick and Jonah, if you'll come up, I want to pray, and then we're going to serve the people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Just wait right here and let's pray before we serve him. Father, this morning, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that though our sins are as scarlet, through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, they can become white as snow. Lord, we ask you to bless these emblems as they are served. Prepare our hearts to take communion and remember the price you paid by being faithful even unto death. In Jesus' name, amen.